John chapter 6, verse number 15 says, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again to a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And by the sea, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he saith to them, It is I, be not afraid. And they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land whither they went." I don't normally step away from John on Wednesday nights, but I feel like the Lord was leading us to be here tonight. Verses 15 through 21, the verse we just read of John chapter 6, are normally grouped together with the first 14 verses that we covered on Sunday night. The Word of God here is all one story. It happened all at the same time within a day and a night's time frame, but as the Lord led, I'd split it up, so I feel like I should cover that tonight before we move on Sunday morning, because we're going to be here tonight. So if you remember Sunday night, we looked at Jesus feeding the 5,000 plus the women and children there. Don't know how many total. There's a lot of people. That great miracle we saw there is a great miracle. It's a well-known miracle. I'm sure it's not the first time you've heard about it. It's all recorded in every one of the Gospels. All four Gospels talk about it. We looked at it from a little bit of a different angle, and preaching on sharing your table land, sharing the fellowship that you've experienced with the Lord, sharing the gospel. And that's what it's all about. How often do we keep it to ourselves? We have something as great as the gospel in our hands, where it's given it to us, shown it to us, let us take part in it, be saved here in the church, and we're greedy with it oftentimes. Are we not? Everybody with me tonight? Shame on us. That's the truth of it. And that's I don't like to think about that, but none of us have, I don't think any of us think about it, but I wonder how much blood is going to be in our hands to get to the judgment seat of Christ. How many opportunities we've refused to take advantage of. Opportunities the Lord's given us to reach out and spread the gospel, and when the Holy Spirit's nudged us to do something for him, and our flesh, we refuse to do it. That scares me. I don't know about you. It's not something I like to think about. Will you share your table? That's what we preached on Sunday night. Then we talked about John and why John is the only one to call it a mountain and not a desert. There's a difference there. Every other gospel calls it a desert. John calls it a mountain. Why is that? Because John's looking at the Savior. There's no lonesome place with a Savior. There's no lonesome place if you're with a shepherd. You can find comfort. You can find fellowship. Any place can be a table land with a shepherd if you're with him. He prepares a table before me in the presence of him. Even in the face of the enemies, you can be in fellowship with a shepherd. You can look at a little different way of Psalms 23. First, he maketh them lie down in green pastures. In those first 14 verses, we looked at that. Tonight, he's going to lead them beside still waters once he's on the boat. We can make our desert a mountaintop. He can make your desert into a mountain. He can make your storm into still waters. He can change the storm. What a God he really is. And that's basically the message here tonight, what a God he is and how he can change the storm. And we could pretty much go home now because that's the message tonight. I'm not going to do that. Lord, so I'm going to preach just a few minutes on this thought. I'm not going to take too much of your time tonight. I know you're tired and ready to get home. But from the storm to the shore, very simple title. I believe there are two different ways you can look at this passage tonight. And I've told you before, there are always three different things in a passage of Scripture you can look for and find. You have the literal interpretation, you have the prophetic implication, and the practical application. You look at most passages, you can find those three different things. Well, what is the literal interpretation here in this passage of Scripture that we just read? John just gives a few small details. Mark gives us a lot more details of this same story. So if you would hold your place here in John, we will come back. Turn over to Mark chapter number 6. It's Mark chapter 6, verse number 45. "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship, and to go to the other side before into Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. When they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith to them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." So Mark tells us a good many more details here. We know from Sunday night that this crowd of people, Jesus knew from his last miracle we just performed, the feeding of those people. They were going to want to make him king. That's what we read in verse number 15 of John chapter 6. I don't believe his disciples were immune to that. I believe they would have liked to see that happen as well. They're Jewish like everybody else was. Just imagine Judas, the treasurer of the New Jerusalem. I'm sure he would love that position. And Peter, the prime minister with his mouth, imagine he would love that position. I don't think they were immune to this. So I believe that Jesus, to protect his own disciples here, Mark tells us he straightway constrained his disciples to go into the ship and to go across the sea to the other side. That word constrained means to necessitate, to compel them. I'm sure his disciples, who are still tired, by the way, as far as we know, they're still working. They have not rested at this point. They're still tired, probably aren't in a big hurry to sail back across the sea. They've just sailed across to get to this place in the first place. They're probably not excited about it. Imagine that was not what they wanted to do. So it says Jesus constrained them to go, even without him. He said, you go get in the ship, and you get out of here and get away from what these people are wanting to do, and I'll get them out of here. And then he goes and spends some time alone in prayer. He sent them, the multitude, away down the mountain. Then he went by himself into the mountain to pray. I think that's pretty amazing. Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, went to pray in a private place alone for quite a while. We'll get to later on, to pray with his Father. Some say, I don't need prayer. Jesus did. Now, I say my morning prayers. Do you really pray? Have you really talked to God? Jesus took prayer seriously. I wonder what God could do with us if we would get serious about prayer. I know I've already preached on this, but it's still important. Even more so if we got serious about prayer and fasting. I know that's a bad word for most of us. I wonder what God could do with us if we got serious about it. So Jesus prays for a long time. We'll get to that. And then this entire message, there's an entire message you can preach there on just on that. He departed into a mountain to pray himself alone. Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, went to pray to his Father. In verse 47 there in Mark chapter 6, it says, when even was come, that's sunset, probably around 6 o'clock, somewhere around there, and the even was come. In verse 48, it says, he saw them toiling and cometh unto them. It says it was in the fourth watch of the night. That's about 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 a.m. So from afternoon time, sometime before 6 p.m., because at 6 they're in the midst of the sea. So from sometime in the afternoon to around 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus is praying in the mountain alone to his Father. Our little dear Lord bless us food, amen, prayers that we pray, that's not what God had in mind when he instructed us to pray. God is serious about this thing. We ought to be serious about this thing as prayer as well. Jesus took serious. What is our problem? Because in Mark 9:29, he saith them, to this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Some things only come by serious prayer and fasting before getting real with God. I've had unanswered prayers. I've seen God refuse to give me peace about, and so I went to prayer and fasting. Now, I'm no expert on this thing, as you can tell. I would do it a lot more. We ought to be serious about it. Jesus prayed. He had a prayer life. It's an actual life. He had a prayer life with the Father. Anyway, moving on here. I see y'all getting angry with me. So we see Mark's description of what's going on here. Jesus has instructed his disciples, constrained them to go into the ship and to go across the sea. Did Jesus know there would be a storm? Of course he did. He's God. Sure he did. Did he cause a storm? I tend to think he did not. The disciples have just had a mountaintop experience with God, a literal mountaintop experience, fellowshipping with God, seeing him do miracles for all these people. And then they do what God tells them to do, to go into the sea, into a ship. And then what happens? A storm comes. Imagine that. You ever been there before? On the mountaintop with God, on a cloud nine, we might say, and you do what God tells you to do next. You go down to the ship, and what happens? A storm comes. I believe that's Satan. Satan is in the prince of the power of the air. God has allowed that to happen for now. I know that God knows the storm is coming, but he allows it to happen for a reason, to show us something, to strengthen us. Maybe we've preached on those trials and tribulations before over in James. Did God allow these disciples to go through that storm? Of course he did. Did it surprise him? Of course it did not. Amen. Satan is going to do all he can after a mountaintop experience with God for you to discourage you. He'll do his best to knock your feet out from under you. He'll do his best to cause you to fear. That is what he's going to try to do. And it worked very well here with these disciples. So much so, Mark says, their hearts were hardened. They were afraid. They forgot the miracle that Jesus had just done because of their fear, and their hearts were hardened because of it. Be careful in the storms. You don't harden your heart towards the things that God has just accomplished in your life. Don't forget what God's already done. Don't forget where God's brought you from. That's the literal interpretation we have here in Mark. And of course, there's more to it, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I'll look tonight at this passage in John and use it as a practical application to our lives. I know in Mark, the disciples are constrained by God to get into, God tells them to get into the ship. I understand that. And we've covered that. But I also see a picture here for us well in the book of John, an application that we can make to our lives when storms come into our lives. It's very simple here, not going to take very long. I hope it's a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me. I hope I can get out tonight. I see two different positions here, the disciples in the book of John, in verses 15 through 20, two different positions while they're on the ship. One you see from the shore to the storm, and then you see from the storm to the shore. Two different things that happen, and there's one major difference between the two. Jesus was there in the second one. Jesus wasn't there in the first one. Number one, we see from the shore to the storm. John 6, verse number 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And so when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. It was that first verse I read just there, in verse number 16. His disciples went down unto the sea. John is the only one here to use this phrase. Matthew and Mark do not mention it when they mention this miracle that takes place. How often in the Scripture do we see this phrase, going down into something? Look at Jonah. He went down into the boat, and down to Joppa, and down into the ship, and down to the fish's belly. He doesn't come up until he repents before the Lord. He keeps going down and down and down. I understand the disciples here are headed to the ship, headed to a destination because God has sent them that way. But John has given us a picture there, leaving the mountaintop with Jesus and headed down. Leaving the fellowship with God and headed down. Can I warn you tonight, be careful not to lose your burden, lose your drive, forget, lose what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord after a mountaintop experience. Don't lose your focus. It's so easy when things are going good, when we just had a big victory, it's easy after that to forget God. Well, I don't need to pray anymore. Everything's going good right now. It's human nature. When things are good, we don't look for help. When things are bad, then we start looking around. It's something every one of us is going to fight against. You say, well, not me. You haven't been through a storm yet, apparently. Be careful you don't go down spiritually after the victory. Watch out for it. I'm telling you, the temptation is going to be there. If you're not fighting against it, it's going to happen. Don't backslide. Don't go down after you come through a victory. Don't forget what God's done for you. Don't harden your heart and forget what God's just brought you through. I'm telling you, it's going to come. So they go down into the sea, they board the ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. It's in verse number 17. Peter, the great fisherman, all his fishing buddies are with him. Imagine probably not very many thoughts were given to the storm that may be rolling in that night. They may not even seen it at that point. I'm sure we're not very concerned with the wind. They were confident in their abilities. After all, they're fishermen. And what happened? It says again in verse 17, and it was now dark and Jesus was not come to them. It's a scary place to be. In the dark, with Jesus not on board the ship. It's where the majority of our world is today. Majority of our nation is today. We're in the storm without Jesus. Be careful that in your life's boat, if you will, you don't forget to invite Jesus on board. How often do we focus on our own talent, our own abilities, our own strength, and forget to pray and ask God to help us on our journey? Forget to ask Him where He wants us to go? When is the last time you involved God in your decisions? It ought to be daily. They're in the dark without Jesus. Not a place I would recommend being. Why? Because the next verse. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. If you're in the ship without Jesus in the dark, don't be surprised when Satan starts blowing the wind. Stop seeking His face. Stop seeking His will. Don't be surprised when Satan starts throwing temptations your way. Starts throwing trials your way. It's going to come. Being in the dark without Jesus, it will affect you. Now they're in the dark without Jesus in a storm. A great wind blew, it says. In the dark, no Jesus, in a storm, is going to affect you. It affected them in three different ways here. It affected their strength, verse number 19. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh to the ship, and they were afraid. It's going to take a little bit of math here, and I won't belabor the point. It says they rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs. According to Schofield, a furlong is about 582 feet. So I'm going to spare you all the math I did, but that's between 2.7 and 3.3 miles they've rowed at this point. Now, don't forget what I said earlier. They were in the midst of the sea at evening, Jesus says. Jesus looked out there in the midst of the sea at evening, around 6 p.m. Now it's fourth watch tonight. That's about 3 a.m. From what I found, the Sea of Galilee is about 5 miles across, between 5 and 7 miles across. Probably 5 miles where they would be crossing at this point. So they're in the midst of the sea at 6 p.m. Now they rowed 2.7, 3.3 miles at 3 a.m., that means they're pretty much still in the middle of the sea. That tells me in 9 hours of rowing, they basically have not moved. They've advanced maybe a little bit, maybe 0.2 mile. I remember when we were first moved back here a couple years ago, we went out for a drive. We decided to use that little rowboat up on Control Lake. We rowed across the lake, and me and Natalie and the two older kids rowed across the lake with all our fishing gear and got across, and then the wind started to blow. And I rowed and rowed and rowed and stopped rowing and go back. And I rowed and rowed and rowed, and the wind pushed us back. And finally got all the way across the lake and have blisters swelling up on my hands. Not very fun. A little bit worse here for the disciples, I imagine, but you get the picture here. Rowing in the midst of the sea, rowing for around 9 hours, and have probably made zero progress whatsoever. Very little. The storm of this life, if you try to take it on your own without Jesus, you're going to lose. It's going to affect your strength. You're going to lose strength. I can't imagine trying to face the storms, just trying to face very small storms that we've been through, which is pales in comparison to most people. But I can't imagine going through the storms that I've been through without Jesus. It'll affect your strength. You're not as strong as you think you are. I can't imagine going through this life without Jesus, without a church family. I can't imagine doing that. People do it all the time. It affected their strength. It affected their sight. Look at verse number 26 again. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And that's Matthew 14, 26, I'm sorry. And the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Being in the dark without Jesus in a storm affected their sight. Couldn't even see Jesus. Couldn't see who Jesus was when he showed up. They couldn't tell who he was. Oftentimes, when we're going through trials, going through storms in life, we are discouraged, and we are attempting to take a storm on us without Jesus, we'll miss out on what he's doing all around us, miss out on him. I've seen people go through trials, and every little thing, it's just a tragedy, and, oh, look at me, woe is me. And the truth is, if they're really in the right spirit, they can see God working all around them if they just open their eyes and look for him. I understand being pessimistic. I have that problem myself. That's a fleshly problem. It's not godly. You've asked me to help you with it. You start looking for Jesus, you'll find him. Don't let the storm affect your sight. We've been talking about that for weeks now. Don't just look for him in the Word. Look for him. Look for Jesus. He's there if you'll look for him. Try to take on your storm on your own without Jesus. It's going to affect your sight and what you see around you. It'll change your outlook. It'll change your attitude. It will affect you. It'll affect their strength. Affect their sight. It will affect your stamina. And skip ahead a verse and we'll come back. John 6, verse number 21. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Disciples got to the point that they realized, we need Jesus on this boat. Oftentimes, a storm will put you in a position that you realize you really do need him. I personally believe this is oftentimes the reason he allows some storms to come. So we realize we need him because he knows it's what we need to get our attention. The storm made them realize they needed Jesus. It affected their stamina. They realized they couldn't do it on their own. They realized, we haven't made any progress in less than 9 hours. About time that he gets on the boat and makes a difference here. Happy day in the Christian's life when you realize we need Jesus in every part of our lives. So you see, from the shore to the storm, left the mountaintop, went down into the sea and right into a trial, right into a storm. That's oftentimes how it happens. Come out of a victory, and the devil throws a trial at you. Every time. You got to be prepared for it and have Jesus with you. See, from the storm to the shore, verse number 20. But he saith unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." And they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at land whither they went. Look at his words there in verse 20. I don't know about you. I don't want to sound weird tonight, but I'm thankful and glad for the times he said that to me. "Be not afraid, it is I." I know, obviously not audibly, I'm not crazy here tonight. I'm glad he can calm the storm if he wants to. He can end the storm if he wants to. Or he can give you strength to endure the storm if that's what he has for you. We don't have to be afraid. "Be not afraid, it is I." The goal of Satan is fear. That's what his goal is here. That's what he did to the disciples. And they were afraid, it says in verse number 19. I don't know what they were more afraid of, the storm or Jesus walking on the sea. Either way, they were scared to death of what was going on. Matthew says they cried out for fear. I believe they were scared to death about what was going on. In the middle of a storm, can't even see anything. It's dark. They can't see around them. And then Jesus comes walking on the sea. I probably scream too. Aren't you thankful that as a saved child of God, you don't have to be afraid of the storm? We don't have to be afraid of the storm. We don't have to fear. And the sad truth of it is we usually do. And why is that? Because we're trying to take the storm on our own. We don't give it to him. We're trying to do it ourselves. You don't have to go through the storm without Jesus. Invite him on board. Practically, what does that mean? It means pray and seek his face every day. Seek his face every chance, for every decision. Practically, that means waking up every morning, spending some time in prayer and reading with him, and try your best to accomplish his will for you that day. Seek his face. Notice verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the ship. Mark tells that Jesus was going to walk on past them, and they called out to him. I believe if you're so arrogant to think you don't need God, he'll let you try to get through the storm on your own. It's not going to end very well for you. If you're saved, he'll protect you. He may let you go through some storms. You go ahead, you see what kind of mess you get yourself into. John says they willingly received him. They were glad to have Jesus on board. If you'll call out to him, he will hear and he will answer. It says that in Jeremiah 33:3. And then he came on board, it says. What happened next? Verse 21. They willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. They're in the middle of the sea, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Jesus got on board, and immediately in the storm, and immediately they're at dry land. I don't have any reason to question that. Some people have trouble believing that. Believe what the Bible says. Immediately they were at the shore. Immediately they were past the storm. Their storm experience with Jesus on board was a whole lot shorter than the experience for the first half of the sea. Spent 9 hours getting halfway across, and immediately they get the second half across. Paul asked God, I don't believe, now it won't happen that way every time. Sometimes God allows storms to stay. Paul asked 3 times for God to remove his thorn in the flesh. God refused to remove it, gave him grace to endure it. The storm isn't always over immediately, but I can promise you the storm with Jesus on board is a whole lot smoother sailing than it is without him on the boat. You can have peace in the storm. I don't know what kind of storm we're going through tonight, but I can promise you it'd be a whole lot smoother if you'd invite Jesus into the ship. Take it to him. I don't know what the problem is. Take it to him. I can't promise you it's always going to be easy, but I can promise you he's always going to be there. If you invite him into the ship, he'll be there. Invite him in, he'll come. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, he saith to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Jesus on board your ship and your storm. Have you invited him on board? Have you sought his face? Mark says he would have passed them on by. But they cried out and he stopped and they willingly received him into the ship. Have you called out to him? Have you spent some time in prayer seeking his face? I talked about prayer earlier. It was important to Jesus. It ought to be important to us. You go through enough storms, it becomes very important to you. Have you spent some time with him in prayer about your storm? Have you sought his face? Or are you just trying to get through it on your own? I can handle it. Good luck. Just give it to him. Sooner or later, you're going to run out of strength, run out of sight, run out of stamina. Just give it to him. Just trust him. From the storm to the shore, it's a whole lot shorter than the first trip. It's a lot quicker when Jesus is on board. It's a lot smoother when Jesus is on board. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for even giving us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, take this simple thought and simple message, Lord, and pray you take it and apply it, help us apply it to our lives. Help us to listen to it, Lord, listen to your word. In Jesus' name.